This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman. You're listening to the Nerdcast on ProjectNerd.com.
Before we get started, does anyone want to get out?
I knew it. I knew you were bluffing. I knew he was bluffing.
You're listening to the Nerdcast.
We're just like Kevin Bacon.
With Adam, Bob, Iggy, and Tyler.
And you just mind your P's and Q's, Buster, and remember who you're dealing with.
Only on Project Nerd.
99999!
I don't know if that's how I wanted to start a podcast with Adam flipping me off, but that's how we're starting 181. Anyways, we're back after a bye week. It's Adam, Bob, Tyler, and myself, Iggy. How are you gentlemen doing this week?
Apparently angry.
Yeah, really.
You're the one throwing up the middle finger, Adam.
I don't know why I did that, but you probably deserved it.
Tyler will back you up on that, even though he had no clue what was going on at that moment.
We all dislike you immensely, Iggy. I think you should come to terms with that by now.
But that's a normal week around here.
Also, everything is terrible and awful.
Yeah, you guys will get over it. You'll get over it. So I was actually discussing earlier, speaking of terrible and awful and hate you, Tyler, I was discussing with a very special friend earlier about how we do our Oscar picks every year, which this week we'll be talking Oscars, but not making the picks yet. And I said, just as long as Tyler doesn't win, because we don't want to hear about it for months afterwards, because when Tyler finally won, it never stopped.
If anything, you guys talked more about me winning than I talked about me winning.
We were all just excited Bob didn't.
I feel like you guys had a little hang up on it.
I would have been happy. Actually, I think I was messaging Bob last year. Bob, I wish you would win like a whatever 100th time in a row here, as long as Tyler doesn't do it. And
yep.
Further it got down, Bob was like, this is looking more and more like Tyler's.
It wasn't so much that I won. It's that I won so convincingly.
Adam has to cover the back end. Anyways, it is 181. The Oscar nominations are out. The MLB Hall of Famers have been announced. We have a bunch of new trailers. And one thing that I am super excited for, because I binged the whole thing this weekend, Punisher Season 2 dropped, and it was awesome. All right. So we have a lot to talk about, I guess, is what I'm getting at here. So you guys, did you catch Punisher? Let's start there.
No, I didn't.
I think you might actually be the only person still watching Netflix Marvel television shows.
Dude.
I'm not saying that as like a dig against them. I'm saying that like viewership for them over the last how many ever seasons has dropped precipitously to the point where they've canceled all of them.
Well, I feel that and we've talked about it a lot. Tyler, you are a big Marvel Comics fan. For me, if I read Marvel, it was always the Knights or the, you know, Defenders, the stuff that was probably not the best for at my age when I was reading them to be reading. And that's why I read them. So these are some of the characters I've liked a lot. The Punisher, obviously one of them. And I feel they have been very faithful to the source material and introducing both the Pilgrim and giving us a full look at Jigsaw this season. Two of the Punisher's biggest villains in one season. Awesome. Well done. Incredibly played out. One of my favorite MCU season or Marvel Netflix seasons we've had so far. I loved it. I finished it all on a weekend. It was hard to navigate with a little kid around, but I was able to do so. She's like, why do you like something so violent? I'm like, because it's a good show. It just happens to be violent too. So anyways, I wanted to talk more about this, but since I'm the only one that's seen it, if anybody wants to make a comment about it in our comments, go ahead.
No, I would have. I mean, I'd like to watch it.
There's a lot to watch right now.
Things are happening, Iggy.
There is also a lot to watch.
Starting, oh gosh, last week. So if you're listening to this, you're 2 weeks behind. That means you need to add another episode per week on average. If you've done 5 episodes of Game of Thrones a week, you could start at season 1 and watch 2 episodes the Sunday, April 14th when it launches. So you finish out season 7 to launch you into season 8 right then. So that's what I've been doing. And that's what everyone should be doing. And you're now 10 episodes behind if you're listening to this. You need to watch 10 episodes this weekend.
That's a lot of Game of Thrones in 1 weekend. Yeah.
Those first two seasons are so good.
I know. Oh my gosh. But to get to 10 of those episodes in 1 weekend, that's a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot of not great episodes all in a row there that you have to.
Yeah, I'm gonna need to see a therapist after that weekend.
Well, I mean, you could spread them out a little bit. That's what I said. Yeah. So if you're listening to this right now and you haven't started, you need to do 6 episodes a week. So the wife and I watch one with a dinner every night, and then we might skip the weekends.
What was that you watched it with?
My wife.
No, but you watched it with the.
With dinner.
Yeah. Dinner.
Okay. Okay. Go ahead.
We watch it with dinner. We make dinner and we eat dinner and we watch TV show. What's the?
Why are you being weird about this?
The way you said dinner the first time, it was like dinner. I was like, all right.
Yeah, dinner.
Is Iggy making fun of someone for the way that they say
it? Listen, we're 5 minutes in and my English has been flawless.
I'm just saying glass houses. All right, man.
Get it where he can.
Right.
So yeah, you can do that. And it's an easy thing to commit to, and you'll be ready to go for the new season when it launches.
All right. Well, that's something to do. But I guess since we don't have a lot of Punisher watching and talk now, we can.
There's other stuff to watch on Netflix.
I was just about to bring up the new trailers, which includes Game of Thrones. I was using a segue here.
I was going to say that everyone should watch Sex Education on Netflix. It's really.
I started it because of your recommendation. So I started it, I think, just last night before recording. Got through the first episode. The start of it, I was like, it just, but by the time the episode ends, I get what you're saying, Tyler. Like, the end of the episode gets a little bit clever, gets a little bit fun. And
it gets way better.
Yeah, and it made me interested in seeing the second episode.
By the, like, third episode, you'll be all in.
Okay, so those of you who start it, the first episode, the first half of that first episode is definitely establishing the, we are raunchy, we're showing nudity, we're going over the top on some of the stuff, and you're kind of just like, I've seen stuff like this before. But by the time the second half of the episode hits, I could see where it was coming together to be a fun, good little series. So I'm interested. So I'll keep watching. So thank you for that recommendation, Tyler. Why are you guys laughing? I said thank you for a recommendation.
You're being really weird tonight. That's kind of
awesome. Not. Anyways, there is an IO dropped as well, the sci-fi movie with Anthony Mackie, which if you watched it, I don't know. I don't have much positive to say about it. But anyways. Yeah, Netflix is throwing stuff out like crazy lately. Like, I feel like in the last week, I have added at least a dozen things to my watch list.
I haven't had a chance to watch any Netflix. I think I watch it at work. That's the only time I ever watch it.
Bob,
you should be working at work.
I should, but I have a television up there, so my patients can watch, and I kind of sit there at my desk and go, oh, this looks really good. Yeah, okay.
For those curious, Bob does surgery, obviously. So he's
watching. This is why the American medical institution costs so much money, because Bob's watching Netflix when he should be helping patients.
Me and a patient were watching Black Panther today.
Oh.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's hard to be mad at that.
Right.
But honestly, since last Monday, I have just been feeling like crap. I kind of healed up by the end of the week, and then I was in Kansas City for the AFC Championship, and we all know how that ended.
We're not going to talk about that.
And then I,
guys, all gloomy, Charlie Brown head down and everything.
And then I got home yesterday, and I've just been so sick. So if I suddenly go silent, it's probably because I'm yakking up a bone or something.
Anyways, that got interesting. There's a lot on Netflix right now. The Fire documentaries dropped. I think Netflix has one and Hulu has another one.
Two of them.
I did watch the Netflix one. It's pretty interesting. I did find that to be, holy shit, I've watched a lot of TV lately. Like, I realized I've watched.
Yeah, dude, what are you doing?
Do you have a life?
I have, never mind. I've had a lot of expenses towards one thing lately, so I've had a lot more time at home not spending money. But a lot of Netflix stuff there is. But along with that, too, a number of trailers, a lot of exciting trailers. So the new Game of Thrones trailer dropped, and they gave us the premiere date, obviously, over at projectnerd.com if you haven't caught that. Also in TV, American Gods Season 2 dropped a teaser with the date.
Yeah.
Looked almost as rough as Season 1. The new trailer looks a little bit better. If I would have just left it on the teaser, I don't know if I was going to watch Season 2, to be honest. I mean, eventually down the road, but watching the new trailer, like, Season 1 was a letdown for me. I'm gonna put it out there. Yeah. Yeah, you can
drop your jaw.
Tyler would be mad if he was paying attention to me anyways, but
I'm listening. I'm just waiting for us to get something interesting.
I was not not impressed with the season one that much.
What? Any particular reason or just?
That's.
I don't. It's. I get that Gaiman was a part of this show too. So I mean, obviously, it straying from the book was at the writer's control and consent. But are you giving me that look like it followed the book perfectly or something?
No, I'm giving you the look like, why do things have to follow the book?
They don't. They don't.
Telling a story in that world, which is fantastic, and I'm on board with it.
Yes, also, if they followed the book perfectly, there'd be an entire season of Shadow just living in an apartment in Minnesota, which would be super exciting.
First of all, a chapter is super exciting.
It's not a chapter. It's like a third of the book.
That's true. I do like that portion of the book anyways.
And like the biggest scenes hinge on like spaghetti sauce and stuff like that. Like it would not be...
It has to be faithful to the book. I was actually saying that it has a right to not be, especially because the writer is involved with the show as well. Anyways, I don't know. I just felt underwhelmed by it. I just didn't enjoy it as much as I enjoyed the book. Not even close.
Gotta leave your expectations at the door, buddy.
I enjoyed it, but it was definitely different. I don't know. I'm putting everything I have into my excitement for Good Omens. Like this was like something cool, fun, whatever, but Good Omens is where all my faith lies. Cause Gaiman was like sort of involved, but not really. And then there was the huge mix up, like apparently everything between season one and season two was a complete and utter clusterfuck. Like they went through multiple showrunners and multiple writers and all sorts of stuff, but
this is American Gods, right?
Yeah. So, okay. But Good Omens, Neil Gaiman was like on set every day. So
yeah, no, Good Omens looks good. I'm super excited for that. And also another one that can't perfectly follow the book, but anyways, I don't know. So we had two TV trailers. We had another Shazam trailer. I actually don't even think I watched that. But the big trailers over the past week or so have been, what is the, like, I don't even know what's going on anymore.
I like how you talked about how big this Shazam trailer was, and then you ended with, but I don't think I watched that one.
I just said they had a second trailer drop. Anyways,
And then you said you didn't watch it.
Okay, the big trailers, obviously, Spider-Man Far From Home and John Wick Chapter 3. Did you guys watch those trailers?
I mean, I watched the Shazam trailer. I didn't catch those other two. I feel like you're being a little bit judgy in which ones are the big ones and which ones are not.
My top 20 anticipated movies of the year came out on Project Nerd plug, and Shazam is on that list. Thank you very much.
Is it number 20?
You non-trailer. No,
it's like
so
18.
And so.
Yeah. It's like 18.
All right.
You should watch
the trailer. I've heard it's really good.
You're moving up the list.
I saw all three trailers. Yes.
I have also seen all the trailers, yes.
Yes, I needed something to do while I was at work.
Because you ran out of Netflix, I guess.
No, I ran out of patience.
Patience or patience? Because I think both could apply here. So. Spider-Man, fun trailer. I think looks interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Internet obviously picked it apart because we don't know what's happening in the Marvel Universe before then.
Right.
We don't know where technically in the timeline this fits. I mean, we all can probably feel it's going to be after Endgame, but
right. Is that Sony? I mean, is that Sony going rogue and putting a trailer out before Endgame?
No,
it was very clearly no spoilers. I'm sure that like Kevin Feige threatened to burn the studio down and salt the earth if they spoiled anything in their trailer, but I doubt that they got to release this without.
Yeah, Feige threatened to get in touch with Kim Jong-un, get all that Sony information that they hacked a few years back.
Yeah, there's absolutely nothing that says it's before or after Infinity War.
No, it's completely spoiler-free.
It's 100%, like, they have, I mean, Feige and other people have said in the past that it is after Infinity War. It's just a matter of how, is it like minutes after Infinity War? Is it years after Infinity War? But it's after.
Well, I hope it's not minutes, because Spider-Man wouldn't be in good shape minutes after Infinity War.
Yeah.
Well, you don't know how Infinity War ends. Maybe it's like a full-on time loop, and he never got off the bus, man.
Maybe there's a gym at the
internet picking it apart. Tyler's part of it, of course.
Spoilers.
I'm just saying you're making a lot of assumptions.
You're making assumptions. There's a lot of assumptions full circle here.
I'm saying that even having a Spider-Man trailer with Spider-Man in it that takes place anytime after Infinity War, which is when they said Spider-Man Far From Home takes place, is in itself, in and of itself, a spoiler.
The fact that they were making the movie was already that much of a spoiler, though. The same with Black Panther 2 being announced.
We all knew that they were all coming back to life. Like, this was not a secret. Like, we knew before Infinity War 1 came out, but anyone who died...
But they could at least hold it and be like, the movie comes out in 3 months. We're not putting out the trailer right now.
Shut up. You're stupid. We got full fishbowl head Mysterio. Like, we made everything worth it.
For sure. Not only that, you got, I mean, are you really going to release a Spider-Man trailer only a couple months before the movie comes out? Or are you going to release it right after all of the praise and everything that's going on for Spider-Man, listen, Spider-Verse?
Sony's not Disney. They need this money. They have to market it. This is like going to be that. This is going to be their, this is the only thing that's going to keep them in the black for the entire year. Like, Sony needs this and you won't take it away from them.
They're like, hey guys, you remember how much you love Spider-Verse? Here's another Spider-Man movie. Please love us. It makes a lot of sense for them to release it right now. Now, equally exciting, John Wick Chapter 3. Like, I could go for another 10 installments of this franchise at this point. I think they've pretty much alluded. They haven't necessarily, and maybe they have, if you guys correct me if I'm wrong here, which y'all never hesitate to do.
Don't worry, buddy.
What I was going to say is that this was just going to be a trilogy. We've been led to believe that, if not flat out told that. So this is most likely, obviously, the final installment in the movies before we start getting well, the comic series is obviously coming out, and then we get the television series around the Continental and everything. So a lot of good still happening with the franchise overall. But just give me like 20 more raw action Keanu Reeves as John Wick movies, just killing people because of dogs.
I'd watch 2.5 hours of Keanu Reeves training to be John Wick in a movie theater. Just like give me all of his training scenes of running all the courses with the guns and going crazy. Like, that's fantastic. I'm perfect. I don't need a story. Just let me watch Keanu Reeves shoot shit.
Yeah, that one looks amazing.
It does. It does. And I agree with you, Adam. I agree with you, Bob. I don't ever agree with you, Tyler.
I think Sony's backed off that trilogy thing, though. I think there's been rumors that they have like the rights to make at least like 4 of these things.
Wait, is Sony releasing this?
No, this is Lionsgate.
Wait, I thought we were still talking about Spider-Man.
No, we're on John Wick. Hey, over here is a podcast.
Well, I was looking up what other movies, because we were talking about how Sony needs Spider-Man to get. I was trying to think, like, what other movies does Sony even have coming out this year? And then I saw the list and realized, oh, yeah, no, they really do need this.
John Wick 3, obviously.
They don't. That's not a Sony movie. But
we know we're making fun of it.
We made that assumption already.
Anyway.
I'm just saying, Sony really needs Spider-Man to do well. And they do have a Spider-Man 4 on their like list of possible upcoming movies.
Well, yes. So.
Of course they do.
This is great.
I get it. I really want to know what movies is Sony. I'm sorry I didn't pay attention to the John Wick thing.
So you're looking at a list of Sony's 2019 releases? Is that what you're looking at right now? What would you see as the second biggest one behind Spider-Man upcoming?
Probably Men in Black International.
Oh yeah, that's gonna do well. That's
it though.
What's after that?
They have a remake of The Grudge.
Oh god,
it's already a remake.
It'll make money.
They have a remake of Charlie's Angels, so like another reboot of Charlie's Angels.
That's right. That did not make my top 20 list, by the way.
They have a reboot of Masters of the Universe.
Oh,
come on. You can't get behind that?
I can. I just don't think it's going to make any fucking money. They're making Little Women for like the 10th time, I guess. Like, someone's making a Little Women movies. The only other one I see on here there's two on here that could make a lot of money. Zombieland 2 is still on track to get made. So that could or could not depend.
Let's do that. They've even released a date for that now, haven't they?
Yeah, they started filming.
And then they're making a sequel to the reboot of Jumanji, which based on that first one might make shit tons of money or not. It depends on if everyone's back or not.
So that's holiday time and everybody's back.
Yeah, that's December. So Masters of the Universe, Jumanji, Little Women, those are all December. Charlie's Angels, November. I forgot about that one. They've got that Tom Hanks. It's Columbia, but
it sounds like they're doing okay. I'm just going to put that out.
Just saying, we just had a conversation about whether or not Disney next year would eclipse like a third of the market share, like, or a quarter. I mean, like, so Sony, like, even if one, like, that's a, the, I don't know. Like, these are going to do okay.
They're yeah. Not no, I get it. I'd say, and I think we've talked about it.
They're making an Angry Birds movie too.
We talked about it offline. Is 2019?
I like the head Adam's making right now.
2000. I know, that's why I stopped. But 2019 is like a super exciting year for movies. Like, I don't know the last time I was this excited going into it, like a full year of movies. Not for like, I've been more excited for maybe a specific movie or a specific set of movies, but for movies as a whole, like everything that's going to be out there for 2019, there's no way I'm going to be able to see it all. Even with the A-list stubs, which, by the way, if you aren't sponsoring us yet, give us a call. I think there's a lot to see this year. I'm excited.
Doesn't Sony Columbia have Tarantino's movies? I don't see Once Upon a Time in Hollywood on this list, but
I don't know what happened, because that was Tarantino and Smith and all them went with Weinstein, and then after that fall apart. I don't know. I honestly don't know where all that is.
I think they have Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, but I don't see
it. Which is in my top five of my top 20, Tyler.
I would hope so.
Actually, I think it's number one.
Really?
Yeah. Okay, talk some
of yourself. I think so. No, I remember looking through your list. I think that's accurate. Because yeah. I wanted to make fun of you for what you were going to have number one, but I remember getting there and being like, This is probably
what you think I was going to put as number one?
I don't know. Angry Birds 2, you're a weird person.
Okay, hold on. All right, I've got it pulled up. I'm not going to read all 20, obviously. You can go to projectnerd.com to see this list. Yeah, one is Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Two is Avengers Endgame. Three is Jojo Rabbit, which is looking hilarious. Four is The Irishman.
I'm concerned. I'm excited about Jojo Rabbit too, but you put it above the conclusion of Star Wars.
And five is Star Wars Episode 9.
And Spider-Man. That's rough. And John Wick?
John Wick is 10. Spider-Man is 9.
I think your numbers are all screwed up.
Well, then you guys go make your own list. You all have access. You all have access to it.
Iggy put out his list.
I've been trying to think of a weekly or monthly article to write for Project Nerd, and I've had trouble coming up with an idea outside of books, which no one will read, like to do. And I finally have come up with one just now in this moment. Coming soon to projectnerd.com. Every time Iggy posts an article, I will post an article doing exactly the same thing, showing how wrong he was and what the right answer should have been.
I laugh because it'll never happen. You'd have to actually put the article in there.
I have to remember what my password is.
Anyways, well, they don't need a book article because you're just going to list your books as your final thought at the end of every podcast anyways. So
listen, this thing needs a little bit of literacy, little culture every now and then.
All right. Okay. So obviously I covered everything. Trailers, you can see most of them over at projectnerd.com. My top 20 movie list is over at projectnerd.com. Tyler's top 20 list is to come to projectnerd.com. And that's obviously top 20 for 2019. A lot of great stuff coming out. Yes. We're all excited about the movies coming out. And of course, if you haven't seen Punisher season 2 or the many, many other things that have recently dropped in Netflix, go check it out. Let us know what you think in the comments below. But let's get to where we're at. So obviously, for those of you that normally listen to the Nerdcast, know that this time of year, every year, we focus a lot on the awards. The week before, we'll definitely dive in deep in every category, talk about every nominee, and we will make our picks. And then we will spend weeks after that gloating or complaining about the gloater, as that happens every year.
I'm just happy to get to play, you guys.
I'm just happy to be here. But today we want to talk about just high level nominees, surprises, what we think, some of the big things, and some of the other headlines that came with it. Bob, like, why don't you get us started with just a quick thought overall of the nominees? What was the first thing that popped in your mind when you saw the list of nominees?
I think the biggest thing I saw is not a whole lot of movies are nominated this year. There's just like a small group of films. There's not a whole lot of single nominees. It's just a group, and that's it. You know, you don't see a lot of ones and two nominees for different films, I think.
Before you go further on that, to support you with that, so The Favorite and Roma both have 10 nominees. A Star is Born and Vice both have 8 nominees. Black Panther has 7 nominees. Black Klansman has 6 nominees. Bohemian Rhapsody, Green Book, 5 nominees. First Man and Mary Poppins Returns with 4 nominees. That's 10 movies with at least 4 nominees.
Yeah, that is a lot. And so it didn't leave a whole lot of room for, you know, for other films. I mean, really, it's strange. You don't see, there's not a whole lot of independent films like Boy Erased, Beautiful Boy, Ben is Back. Those movies did not get a nomination at all.
Bobby, and, any more independent movies that start with the letter B?
There were so many movies this year. Black Panther, Black Klansman, Bill Street Could Talk. Like,
yeah.
Like, even though Bohemian it doesn't start
Rhapsody.
With a B. Oh,
Bohemian Rhapsody, yeah.
It doesn't start with a B, but a star is born. Like, I mean, there's Bs all over these titles.
Yeah. But yeah, it's just, it seemed like it's just a large cluster of films that got a lot of nominations, and it kicked out a lot of the smaller films.
Question for you, Bob, then. Do you think, I mean, are those movies clearly significantly better than we've seen in the recent past? That they're deserving of being that dominant? Like, I mean, 2 movies with 10 nominations, and those are riddled throughout the big categories. Actor, yeah. Actresses, supporting roles, directors, picks.
Yeah. The favorite, I would say, yeah, I agree. That one probably deserved the 10 nominations. It's got 3 acting nominations, picture, director, screenplay, costumes, score. Roma, on the other hand, I'm kind of questioning some of its nominations. Roma, a foreign film, black and white, is nominated for best sound mixing. It's like, are we just kind of overpraising the film and giving it as many nominations as we possibly can?
I feel like they are. I feel like it's all tied to being Alfonso Cuarón's, not only his movie, but his baby. Like, this was his, like, to a point, almost part of his life story is what we've been told, you know?
Yeah.
Like, this is this was his pet his big project, his important one. And all of his normal things are there. Like, it is the cinematography is incredible on it. It is beautifully shot. It is wonderfully done in that piece. But it's not his best movie, even. Not even his best movie, let alone one of, like, the best.
One movie. Of the best movies. That's the thing. It's a foreign language Lifetime film with really good cinematography.
Wow.
Ouch.
Wow, I wasn't gonna go there with it.
That was cold.
I was just quoting that Children of Men and Gravity were better. That's all I was trying to say.
I don't know. It's really good. Here's the thing. There wasn't any, like, transcendent movies this year.
There was a lot
of movies that we thought were gonna be good, and then they came out and were mixed, you know, at best. Like, I think a lot of the movies that the people expected to be Oscar frontrunners actually got to theaters. People are like, oh, it's actually not that great.
Yeah, it's amazing what films just kind of fell by the wayside. What was that? The frontrunner with Hugh Jackman was supposed to be a huge Oscar bait movie.
Yeah, I mean, so was Vice, and it turned out to be kind of a dud. You know, it got some nominations, but it's not.
It wasn't the greatest film in the world. It got 8 nominations, but most of those are just from the acting, and the acting is fantastic in that film.
I don't know. What's the biggest snub, Bob? What was the biggest miss?
Bradley Cooper as director, and in the best documentary category. No Mr. Rogers.
Yeah,
Bob and I were talking about this before we started recording. I think The Will You Be My Neighbor has been not only nominated.
It's won pretty much every documentary
award. Almost everything. Not just nominated, but winning.
Yeah.
And then it doesn't even make the nomination list here.
And then the other one I really kind of saw was in the best original score category. The score for First Man has won literally every best score award leading up to this, and it's not even nominated.
It didn't get nominated for anything. It got
4 technical nominations.
I thought maybe it would get a first. I mean, I didn't think it'd get a, what do you want to say, best picture, but no Claire Foy. I thought Claire Foy might get it. No, I mean, like you said, no score. It won the Golden Globe, but like in a walk.
Yeah, it just won the technical awards. It just got nominated for technical production, costumes, maybe. I think special effects, sound. Yeah. I mean,
I also thought Chalamet would have gotten a nom too for Beautiful Boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because especially he's become a kind of an awards darling after last year and everything. Tyler, what other thoughts you got on it? What were some of your other initial thoughts when you saw it?
I was really surprised, if you haven't seen it, the South Korean movie Burning, the one with Steven Yeun in it.
Yeah.
It's really good. I'm surprised it did not get nominated for Best Foreign Language. I expected to see some sort of nomination for Eighth Grade, Bo Burnham, like a screenplay or something like that.
A lot of praise leading up, yeah.
Like tons of it. Like I said, the biggest shock to me was obviously Cooper, and like Bob said, Won't You Be My Neighbor, not getting anything. I also did not see Pawlowski getting nominated for Cold War. Like that.
Yeah, that nowhere. Bob and I were talking about that one too. That just kind of came out of nowhere.
Adam, considering that neither Farrelly nor Cooper got nominated. So
yeah. Well, I think Farrelly kind of bit the bullet on that one.
Yeah, I know. But Adam, the nomination votes were way in
before. Yeah. Adam, what were some of your first thoughts?
My first thoughts, and we kind of talked about it earlier, was Best Director. I liked seeing Spike Lee in there.
Yeah.
I mean, Coron, anytime he's in there, you gotta pin him right up front. But it seems like the year where Spike Lee could get is Martin Scorsese Lifetime Achievement Director Award. Because I don't know after this, you know, when there's going to be another year that
he's going to get nominated.
He could, right.
Yeah.
Because I don't think Adam McKay... I don't think Vice, Tyler kind of talked about it. I don't think Vice did what everybody thought it was going to do. It's got a bunch of nominations, but I don't think it's anywhere near The Big Short in terms of directing or story.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, I think for them knocking out Bradley Cooper, it just kind of parted the waves and put Coron right at the very, you know, as a winner. But Spike Lee, like you said, that Martin Scorsese award, I think you may see that a couple places here in the acting categories too. You know, I think best supporting actor category, you got Mahershala Ali, you got Adam Driver for Black Klansman, Sam Elliott for Star is Born, Richard E. Grant for Can You Ever Forgive Me, and Sam Rockwell. I think Ali and Rockwell, they cancel each other out because they just both won the past 2 years. Mm-hmm. I really think Sam Elliott is a Hollywood legend that I think they're finally going to recognize him. This is his first nomination.
Is it really?
It really is. And he was great.
Should have been nominated for the Big Lebowski easily.
Yeah. But Richard E. Grant, I hear, I have not seen the film. It's supposed to be really good in that as well. But like I said, I think that, and I think best actress, it's Glenn Close or Lady Gaga. Glenn Close has been nominated 6 times. She'll more likely win it, but I had a feeling she would when I first saw that preview. I said, that looks like Oscar bait to me. But Gaga, she may sneak in there. She is going to win best song. I mean, I don't think anything's going to beat Shallow.
Yeah, I think for actress, you're right. I think Close is the only one that can beat Lady Gaga there. Some of my surprises was you get Buster Scruggs for screenplay, for adapted screenplay.
Yeah.
You get... I liked seeing an animated film. I really think you're going to see Spider-Man win this again, but I like seeing Isle of Dogs nominated, Wes Anderson getting some recognition, because I think this is one of, since he's been getting all that kind of award praise over the past many years, this one definitely did not get the love his movies normally do. I agree with you, Bob. We talked about it extensively. No Mr. Rogers on Best Documentary, just mind-blowing. Not even just a surprise, it's mind-blowing.
Is that they know that they got that Tom Hanks, Mr. Rogers film out there?
Yeah, coming up? But that's right, that's a narrative. This was a documentary. Like, it's a completely different.
I'm with you, but like,
I don't know. I think you know, for me, even though we've talked about it, we knew it was coming. It was getting nominated everywhere else. It's still surprising to me to see Black Panther in the Best Picture list. Like, it's
shocking. Yeah.
This is a huge thing, and we have it listed on our talking points. We've talked about it in the conversation earlier and stuff. Two massive, massive things here. Roma and Buster Scruggs, and one that fell off is the the what is it, the King, the other one Netflix did. So they did those three
Outlaw Kings.
The Outlaw King, thank you. They did those three movies with all the intentions of those three movies was to get those big names behind them and everything like that to try to get some award recognition. That it said, we see Buster Scruggs here for a screenplay nominee, but it's been Roma that's gotten all the praise. We still didn't know whether they would be able to pull it out, being that it is a Netflix movie, but it got it. It got the nominee. Netflix is finally here playing ball. What does this mean? And we can talk extensively about it in the future, especially if it wins. What does this mean in the future for these streaming services and the movies they're rolling out? Because Amazon's done a lot of great movies, a lot of really good movies. And we brought up A Beautiful Boy, Life Itself, you know, in the past, even, The Big Sick getting nominated for screenplay.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, these were really good movies. And I feel like if other studios would have done them, you would have seen them with even more nominees and bigger categories.
All it takes is 1 week at a Los Angeles or a New York theater.
Exactly. And that's what Roma got. Over Thanksgiving weekend, they put them in both those cities. And then just 2 weeks later, it was a streaming. So they did it. And that's what Amazon does too. They put it right back to the streaming service afterwards. But Black Panther, this is superhero. And Bob and I again, we had some time, obviously, because I've mentioned it a few times to talk. And we were talking about, this is significant because The Dark Knight is one of the biggest reasons, one of many reasons, but it's a big reason we're seeing a bigger field of Best Picture nominees because of how incredible that movie was as a movie, not even a superhero movie, but a movie itself. And the fact that it made so much money and just got snubbed across the board, except for Heath Ledger, obviously. And to see Black Panther do something to where it sets a new tone, it changes the perception of, you know, superhero movies. It does so much for that genre. And it to actually get the recognition, not just Best Picture, but seven nominations.
Seven nominations.
Yeah, that's crazy. So it's huge because these superhero movies, we see them every year nominated for special effects, maybe costumes, something like that. But to see this now in those major categories, what does that do for the future of this genre? Because it's a huge, it's just ever-growing and in-our-face genre, and it's not going away. So I think two massive things there is, seeing the streaming services and Marvel or superheroes enter the Best Picture talk. And again, we'll probably talk about it extensively if Roma wins. What does this mean going forward for the way movies are done?
Yeah, it'll be interesting because I remember earlier this year for the Cannes Film Festival, they disqualified any film that was from Netflix or Amazon. How is this going to play out in, you know, because I think Spielberg was on the jury and he was the one that was pushing that. Is this going to affect how the voting is this year in the Academy? Is there going to be, you know, are people going to say, oh, that's a Netflix film. I should vote for something that's primarily theatrical.
My question to you guys, and maybe it was released somewhere, maybe some people like Spielberg or whoever who are against it have talked about it and I just haven't seen it. What is the argument here? What is the argument between it's more deserving if Disney, 20th Century Fox, whoever does it, puts it theatrically? Because a lot of these award contenders get very limited releases as well.
It's not
like they're nationally released. So what is the difference whether Netflix funded it or a major movie studio?
I know. That's going
to
be...
There's a lot. I feel like there's a lot to unpack there. I mean, I think there's definitely some people who have views on it from a purely artistic, like, or an experiential standpoint, like they're meant to be seen in the big screen and the way the director made it, but it's like it's gonna go to the small screen eventually anyway. Obviously there's a money component with studios and with movie theaters and like the business and the way things work. I guess I don't know. I don't think that them winning or not winning is going to, like, the way that movies are made has already changed. Same with television. Like the number of big talented, like coveted creators who have gone to Netflix or gone to Amazon, have gone wherever to make these shows, like, has already started and is going to continue to keep going that way because Netflix and Amazon will give everyone full creative control, tons of money, no hard set, you know, like deadlines or, you know, creative control. I mean, look at just for instance, like there's been a lot of talk recently. It's going to go off topic for just a second, but like, so Amazon picked up The Expanse after it got dropped by Sci-Fi. And so there's now Amazon's going to release all the first three seasons worldwide, and then the fourth season will be coming. And they've talked, and like the creators have talked about, like, no longer do we have to turn in an exactly 42-minute episode, you know, every week. Sometimes the episode comes out at 50 minutes and the studio's like, all right, cool, whatever. You know, they don't have to worry about commercials. They don't have to worry about fitting it on television. They don't have to bleep out one of the characters anymore. There's a character in the books, if you've read them, who is ridiculously foul-mouthed, and they've found creative ways to bleep it in the television show and Sci-Fi, or just ignore that part of her character. And now they're like, yeah, we don't have to do that anymore. Like, sometimes the episode's 50 minutes long. Sometimes the episode's 41 minutes long. We don't have to worry about that kind of stuff anymore. I think there's a lot of creators who want that kind of freedom. They don't want to have to take notes from studio execs. And Amazon, Netflix, like, all right, cool. Here's a big truck of money. Go do whatever you want. And then just make sure that we get it. So, I mean, like, here's the thing. I don't think Netflix or Amazon or whoever's ever going to break down the door of Cannes or ever actually win that many Oscars. I don't think anyone cares that much as long as they get to keep making movies. Now, the question is it going to be financially, like, beneficial? Like, can Netflix keep spending billions of dollars?
They're talking about billions.
How long can Netflix keep spending billions of dollars on productions where their only return is
viewership,
subscription model? Especially when they're... The other thing is Netflix had to go this route because all the other studios saw the writing on the wall and keep pulling their product from Netflix. I mean, if you're on Netflix recently, you realize there's not a lot of stuff anymore from... Like, not a lot of big movies anymore, a lot of big studio stuff, not a lot of new stuff. It's a lot of old television shows, a lot of, you know, straight-to-DVD, indie kind of stuff that no one watched, and Amazon originals. So Amazon said, screw it, we're going to go all in on our own television shows, our own movies, tons of stand-up specials. We have to give people something to keep them subscribing. And so far it's working, how long it'll work. I think the future of streaming, like big budget, like Curran making movies or like all the television shows, 100% hinges on whether or not any of the big studios are ever able to, like, I think it'll all hinge on like wait and see what happens with like Disney streaming service.
So two things to kind of build off of what you're saying, which you kind of led into there, was, you know, the one question again, it all probably depends on wins, maybe not this year, but in the future. All of these studios are doing their own streaming services now. Like, it's happening. They've even announced them, it's been rumored. So if these creators are going this direction because they get this freedom, do these studios start allowing it on their side too? Okay, we're not going to air it. We're not going to make a deal with ABC. We're going to only have it on our streaming service because we want this person who wants that freedom. Or I want to only release it through our service, so we're going to produce this and just release it here. You know, it's question, you made a huge point. It's already, the way it's being done is already changed. How much more is it going to change? And with all these services to where we're basically going back to the cable model, where we're going to have to pay as much as we did for cable to get all the different networks now, what's going to happen with these? But the other big thing you guys hit on too is, and they've been talking about it now for almost 2 years, Netflix is not only are they just handing truckloads of money, they're borrowing truckloads of money to be able to do that. And now it's starting to impact. And here they are again, about to increase the price of subscription. With you competing with all of these new subscription services, they can't keep raising that price. They can't keep going up to fund this. So exactly right. They've got to figure out how do they fund it? Because eventually somebody's going to say, I ain't giving you any more money. Like, trust me, my parents told me that a long time ago.
I'm just, you know, the thing that kind of blows my mind, I guess, about Roma is, you know, it is a black and white foreign film. Yes, it's directed by Curran, but even any regular studio would still put that out, and it wouldn't make a whole lot of money. I mean, why does Netflix do that with that film when they have a film like Bird Box, which is being seen by 90 million of their subscribers, where that could go to a theater and that can make buttloads of money?
Well, we made one. We had the discussion about how many subscribers were actually watching.
Yeah, only five accounts. Right. Actually.
But two, that was kind of what was the root of that question when I was asking it, is like, a lot of these award contenders aren't nationally released big budget movies in the first place anyways. Most of them get held to run the festival circuit and then get released limited around the holidays.
Yeah.
And then maybe get showcased at a lot of theaters, which we'll get into that here in a second. So that's what I'm saying. I don't,
which makes me laugh that about how like all the theaters and the, they want to be dicks about this. I'm like, no,
okay.
Well, at the same time, like,
a second.
Yeah. They want to be dicks about like Netflix only putting it in two theaters for whatever. It's like, you guys all do exactly the same thing with your Oscar bait. I think Netflix makes something like Roma for, I mean, they have a very specific purpose for making Roma. One is they want to, Netflix never makes anything they don't think some people are going to watch. Like their algorithm, like they know what they're doing. Like they typically, when they make something, they know there's an audience on audience. There's a, what was it?
Audience.
There is an audience to watch it. The other thing you have to remember is Netflix is not just an American, like it is a worldwide brand. Like Netflix streams in literally every country in the world. So It's not just for us. So like it got huge numbers in Mexico, huge numbers in Spain. Like it got numbers all over the world. Number two, they make this kind of movie for the prestige of winning an award. They make 100% make these movies like so they can get in the door for something like the Oscars.
Yep.
Number three, they make these movies so that other people like Cuarón, like the big gets creators, big directors look and be like, oh shit, they let him do that. Fuck, maybe I should go make a movie for Netflix.
Well, two of Cuarón's best friends are...
Exactly. And that's exactly why they do something like this. You get someone like Cuarón to be like, hey, here's all the money you want. Make literally whatever you want.
And then all of a sudden, Iñárritu and Del Toro are knocking on that door.
And then all of a sudden, like other directors turn around and be like, well, if he's doing it, like I'm in. Like, let's do this. So...
Well, I think that's a great point because we went back a couple years on some of those Amazon ones that were starting to get the praise and stuff. And as much as their names we know, they were stand-up comedians, they were whatever, telling the stories. Now, exactly, it's these huge, huge names behind it.
Well, and that was their first, I think, foray into this. Like, they're doing for like movie directors what they did first for stand-ups, then they did for television show creators, now they're doing for directors. Like, the stand-up was their first foray into this, where they went and offered certain stand-ups a ton of money, like, put your special on here. And you, even if you listen to any like podcasts or talks, like amongst comedians, they've all like seen the light on this. So they're like, why did you go to Netflix? It's like, well, my buddy blank got whatever and they let him do whatever he wanted. So then I came in. Now literally almost every big comedian out there, their specials go straight to Netflix. Then they started doing it with TV show creators and now they're doing it with movies. I think this isn't so much marketing to the audience. This is marketing to other creators to say, come over here where the grass is greener.
For sure. Yeah. So while we're on the topic of Netflix and the movies, and we talked a little bit about movie theaters, I do want to mention. So as usual, AMC and Regal Theaters are going to be releasing at limited showtimes the Best Picture nominees, as they do every year. However, they have already, on the day of nominees being announced, acknowledged and stated that they will not be playing Roma as part of those showcases.
I wonder about that because I think Bob hit on it with Bird Box. I don't know if Bird Box is the best example. I think they've had other shows and other movies that have gone crazier than Bird Box went in terms of people watching it and having to watch it. And, oh my God, you need to see this thing that Netflix is doing. How long until a movie theater company, obviously not AMC or Regal, but how long until a movie theater company goes, let's strike a deal with Netflix to put their movies in the theater for $4 for subscribers. We get people in the door. It's in our theaters for 2 weeks, and then it releases on Netflix after that. You can go see it on the big screen for a discounted price if you're a Netflix subscriber, and then all of a sudden, all of the movies you're talking about now have the releases that they need, because I'm sure a big movie theater chain has theaters in LA and New York. And like, what's to keep somebody from doing that and being like, you know, I want to make money. And I think there's a way to do that here.
Well, I think a big part of it is that AMC and Regal own majority of the theaters that are around. Yeah.
Well, and AMC and Regal, and like, this is something this comes up a lot of times whenever we talk about Disney, is Disney can be, and all big studios, but Disney's obviously, because of their market share, is the worst about it, be pretty dickish about like, yeah, sure, you can show our movie, but you get this much of it. And while you're showing it, you can't show any other movie in these theaters, or you can't show this movie, or you can't show this movie. And when it all comes down to it, surely on volume, like 100% AMC would make more money per ticket showing Roma than they would Star Wars. but they're going to sell a shit ton of tickets to Star Wars, and they might not sell that many to Roma. And if Disney says, if you put this here, you can't put that there. I think this has more to do with AMC, because AMC, like, it's come out now that, like, so AMC, and, like you said, AMC and Regal aren't going to show Roma as part of their showcase, because it wasn't, and their excuse for it is it wasn't licensed to them back when it was in theater, so they're not going to do it. Netflix has come out, and other people have come out and said that Netflix went and offered a license to all of these places after the fact when it was nominated for very generous terms, in the sense that, like, the theaters would get most of the money, and they all turned them down. And I think some of that has to do with just being shitty and spiteful towards Netflix. I think a lot of it has to do with, we don't want to damage our relationship with actual movie studios.
Major studios.
Who put movies in our theater every weekend, so, all year round.
For those, and I think many of us have, well, obviously we're obsessed with the movie industry, but many of us have worked in some capacity around it or something, and working in a movie theater myself, is if you don't understand, it's each week, and it's depending how long too it's been in release, the theater gets a higher percentage of the ticket sales. But a lot of people complain about ticket sales. Why are concessions so expensive and stuff like that? It's because the theaters don't make hardly anything, especially on a big release the initial first couple weekends. There is hardly any money that goes to that theater. They've got to make the money on concessions. So it's to just strengthen Tyler's point there of, if I can sell 100 tickets for a less margin to Star Wars, more likely going to sell, you know, 50 plus things of popcorn, to where if I sell 10 tickets with a lot of margin to Roma, what am I selling, 5 things of popcorn, right? So it's all got to come down to money, is a good point. But it is also, these studios do play dirty with theaters. The reason the movie industry is changing, the reason people are going to theaters less and all that stuff, it's not because AMC wants to charge you $5 for a box of candy. It's because they can't stay in business if they don't. And it's the way the studios treat them. So some background on
there's,
that.
There's also a reason.
Netflix has the opportunity to treat them better. Yeah. And you're talking about movies every weekend.
Agreed.
But literally, how many movies are on Netflix?
But Netflix is still only one studio, and they can't, they logistically can't produce enough movies to fill the theaters. And the thing that Iggy was saying, sure, with the margins.
Disney's going to not show their movie in an AMC.
They 100% will, because they can.
Yeah, because you'll go to a Regal to see Star Wars next winter. You will.
Are you gonna, if AMC didn't have Star Wars, because it happens here sometimes, like where one of the chains won't get like that first new release, and ain't nobody going to that theater. They're gonna go to the one that has Star Wars in it. Like Disney's has his hand is because there's very few places that don't have, that only have one movie chain. Like obviously smaller cities would suffer, but Disney would not shirk away if AMC was like saying like, yeah, we'll show Star Wars, but only in half our theaters, and the other half we're gonna show this new sci-fi movie from Netflix and the other half of our theaters at the same times. Disney will 100% say, yeah, fuck off, you don't get this movie now. Like I would, Disney can, and they can, because they have plenty of other theaters showing. Like he said with
I'm not saying you put it up against Star Wars, but if I show a movie in February, you're going to tell me Disney's going to not show a movie in December?
I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that like it's going to be it's going to, until Netflix has enough to offer, there's no reason to damage your relationship with other studios to show this one movie for 2 weeks. Like it's just not going to happen. Also, the margin stuff is like, in like
these movie studios seem like a bunch of dicks.
Yeah,
they
are.
This is not a secret. Have you been paying attention for the last 20 years?
Now he gets it.
Adam, you sound like someone who would download a car. You wouldn't download a car, would you? I think, and like Iggy said, to Iggy's point earlier, like the reason AMC has to sell like candy for $5 is because they wouldn't stay in business. That's the other reason that like when you go to a lot of cities, the only theaters you can choose from are AMC and Regal, because small mom and pop theaters can't stay open anymore unless they only show late run movies for cheap. Like you don't, like when was the last time you outside of a small town saw an independently owned theater? Like it just doesn't happen anymore.
But even in those independently owned theaters, it's typically a movie that's already been out 3 to 4 weeks.
Exactly.
In that small town.
That they can afford to show.
You've got to drive the half hour to 45 minutes to the big city, or you wait 3 to 4 weeks to see the one here, because exactly those margins aren't possible for them to do anything. But the point is, yeah, big cities here is if Disney chose not to, reasonable distance from me. I have a draft house, and I'm going to have one even closer here this summer.
I hate you.
AMC right next to me. And then I have a Cinebar, which is owned by Regal, just up the road as well. I have all three of those in reasonable distance that I've gone to recently. Now I go to AMC because of their subscription service. But saying is, if some movie doesn't go to one of those three, then I can just go to one of the two of the others, you know? Anyways, that was a good conversation. I feel like there was some educational parts. There was a lot of breakdown. We got honest and deep. But what hurt me the most is that Tyler and I were on the same page through most of it and had each other's back.
Wow.
It didn't feel right. Didn't feel right. But
it's okay, Iggy. Even a blind acorn finds a blind squirrel finds an acorn. Oh, I fucked that one up bad. Yeah. That was an Iggy. I had a little Iggy moment right there.
Yeah. Deservingly so, because you were going after me. But all right.
It was 100%. I had to wash the agreement off.
So anyways, obviously the full list of nominations are on projectnerd.com. You can check that out here in about 3 to 4 weeks. I think we are, or no, a little bit further out. Yeah, February 24th. So about 4 weeks. That's right.
Yeah.
Our episode, obviously leading up to it, will be the episode where we just go through each category, break it down in more depth, and then pick our winners. So this time we can't do it, and we're not going to go in any more depth because we are out of time. But if you have comments to share regarding anything to do with the Academy Awards or anything else we talked about, as always, you can find us in the comments. More so, if you'd like to catch the Nerdcast one day early, as well as some of the other great Project Nerd podcasts early, head on over to patreon.com/projectnerd, or on our website, click on that banner at the top that takes you to Patreon. You can sign up to support us, help us make great content like this, and again, you get it a day early, as well as you get some fun behind-the-scenes stuff. With Kansas City Planet Comic Con coming up soon, I promise you, there will be a lot of photos we don't want released outside of Patreon, and you can see them. With that, as we're airing
I agreed to none of that.
You consented to it when you agreed to be on this podcast. You just didn't read the fine print. Anyways, yeah. So...
Damn it. If he turns us into a human centipede in Kansas City, I'm going to be super upset.
Anyways, as well as with the Nerdcast, and obviously we've had I'm Not Famous here for a while, and the Redalt's kicking some ass, and as I remember it here, and now streaming pop in here every once in a while, Meeple Skills dropped their first episode this month. That's right, Meeple Skills, the tabletop gaming-focused podcast. Wonderful thing about it is you don't have to hear our voices. That's what's so great about it. You get fresh voices, a mix of voices. So they
got an amazing voice.
Anyways.
Face for radio. I can't know.
So Meeple Skills, Ethan and Jackie, great job. I really enjoyed that first episode. I recommend checking it out. I'm not only a I don't know what I am. I'm a fan is what I'm trying to say. Anyways.
Nope. Don't do it.
All right. And of course, the return of one of our most popular podcasts, Modern Sex, Baroness Von T. Kicked it back off this Wednesday. You do have to hear me in that first one because I'm introducing her and handing it off. But going forward, Modern Sex, a new monthly podcast where you don't have to hear me. You don't get to hear Adam's wonderful voice, but you get Baroness Von T talking about how pop culture and sex are intertwined and all those fun things that come with it. You can check it out as an intro episode. It's pretty clean if you want to see, but those are in a different RSS feed for obvious reasons. Anyways, lots of podcasts, guys. I'm so excited. We have a new podcast that we're going to announce soon. I'll tell you guys about it afterwards, but I can't tell everybody else until later. So with that, we are about out of time. So I'm going to swing us around to final thoughts. So Tyler, why don't you give us that list of books you've been eager to tell us about?
Why do you assume it was going to be books? It's not always books.
Let's play your last 12 final thoughts and see what they are.
I mean, I have been reading a couple things right now. Nothing crazy, but the series of Tao books by Wesley Chu. They're pretty good. Not great. Check them out. He has a new one. He had a new one that just came out. I went back and read all these other ones. Anyway, I have actually been watching quite a bit of Netflix. Like I said, Sex Education is on, and it's really good. Everyone should 100% check that out. What else have I been watching? Oh, if you haven't been watching it, speaking of Oscar nominee Marshall Ali, season 3 of True Detective is real fucking good. So you should
probably
Two episodes in. Feels a lot like season 1 because it's taking place in like 3 different time periods, but it's been super good so far. So that would be my big recommendation, is catch up on True Detective season 3.
Speaking of it feeling like season 1, my favorite comment online I've seen so far is, it's so great to see True Detective back. Too bad they didn't have a second season. But all right, Bob, final thought, sir.
I tell you, these past few weeks, there really hasn't been very much at the movies. Last week, Glass came out. and I haven't seen it, and I heard it wasn't too good. But I do recommend, for those who didn't see it when it came out this past fall, First Man just came out on video. What are you laughing about?
Adam's like super depressed about everything you're saying right now. The facial expressions he is giving. He's in disagreement with you, I guess.
I'm sorry, Adam. Anyways, First Man came out. If you haven't seen it, it's a really good story. It's a biography of Neil Armstrong. It got a couple nominations. It got nominated for special effects, but it's not a big special effects kind of movie. It's a very personal story about Neil Armstrong and his family. Definitely go out and rent it. It is a good film. Hey, Adam, what's up?
Bob, I've seen your movie collection, and I've seen the movies, or ever heard the movies you go see on opening night, and you're going to tell me you're not even going to go see Glass?
I have not had a chance to go see it. And I, like I said, I've...
Huck it, chuck it, football.
I've heard from my brother, at least my brother, who is really disappointed in it, but that's my brother.
So, it's not as good as Split. I saw this weekend. Not as good as Split.
How about Unbreakable?
Better than that.
Yeah. So it'll be, like I said, I need to see it, but from people who I trust,
ouch,
they were not. They were not. Ouch. Well, you just finally told me what. So, but I just have not heard good things as much as I was hoping for.
That's a bummer. I'd recommend going to see it. I mean, it did $40 million this weekend. That's not chump change. Yeah, you guys, people, everybody out there in the world, wash your hands. Everyone around me has been sick. Don't get sick. Keep your hands washed. Buy some hand sanitizer. Use Lysol. Be safe out there. And also, if it's snowing and icing and being awful and horrible and crappy where you live, be safe when you're driving around to get your Lysol and your hand sanitizer and everything. There's a general wintertime PSA from Project Nerd. You know, take care of yourselves.
The more you know.
The more you know.
Exactly. No, it's important. I feel like Bob's the healthcare professional, and I'm the one giving these tips.
Well, that's because he's watching Netflix all day.
I'm watching Netflix and being sick. That's what Bob's doing at work. No, so, yeah. I mean, I stayed inside all weekend. It was cold and gross, and I played a lot of video games and read a bunch of books and watched a bunch of Game of Thrones. So I'm rereading Game of Thrones, like, the Song of Ice and Fire series while
you're watching it and reading it at the same time.
I am. And I'm doing a pretty good job of keeping on pace with my reading, with my TV watching, which is hard to do because they crunch 700 pages into 10 hours of TV. And so you gotta read a lot every day to keep on track with that. We'll see how that goes as I get farther along. Those books get longer and longer. So that's what I got going on, which is fun. I recommend it. Highly recommend it. You got 3 months. You watch a bunch of Game of Thrones, you read a bunch of Game of Thrones, and then you get all the new stuff, and it's exciting.
I don't know why it hasn't. We haven't talked about it at all. I don't know. Maybe this is not the group that's excited about, but Kingdom Hearts 3 is out next week, guys. We got a fun video game coming around the corner, one that I'm going to actually pay full price for. That's the first one in a long time. So super stoked for that. Across Mitch Systems. It's already, at least online, I'm not finding the collector's edition on the PlayStation 4. It's pretty much sold out, so you're going to have to sneak into stores early next week to get it. Cool thing I found, speaking of books, was I wrote the BoJack Horseman articles. I got more articles written that are coming out soon over on Project Nerd. With that, of course, Google has spied on me very well and has shooting all kinds of BoJack articles at me. One of them was a list of 10 books you should read if you are a fan of BoJack. So I was super excited about it. Picked up My Year of Rest and Relaxation, which was highly recommended in a recent New York Times bestseller, as well as, I haven't picked it up yet, but I'm ordering it, the graphic novel Coyote Dog Girl. So both of those are supposedly very similar in tone, dark comedy, everything like that as BoJack. So if you are a BoJack fan, you can check those out. Graphic novel and regular novel for you.
Did you say Coyote Dog Girl?
Yes, Coyote Dog Girl. And what I was super excited about is I wrapped up the Beastie Boys book, and that's literally what it's called, the Beastie Boys book. Not the best music autobiography I've ever read, but it was definitely one of the most fun. and just the stories that are in it. It was such a blast. You guys know how I feel about Beastie Boys. Other people close to me know how I feel about the Beastie Boys. One of my all-time favorites. Amazing, amazing talent, and so creative in the way they did things. And just reading those stories of all the little stories they shared, it was just a blast. So if you are a fan of the Beastie Boys, I can't recommend that enough. It was one of my favorite reads.
I think the Beastie Boys would like anything about them described as, well, maybe it wasn't the best, but it was definitely the most fun.
That's
like whatever that, it was, that way they would be
100% on board with that. I don't know how many times they pretty much said something along those lines in that book about themselves. So there was plenty of times where they broke down the songs on each of the records they released. It was, this was definitely not our best song, but I loved it because of this. And that's exactly what they said. So it was great. It was clear how humble they are about it. It's amazing. They still don't understand where their success came from. And they are still such mega fans of all the people that they spent most of their life hanging around. They just loved it. And so getting to read those types of stories is just fun. But I don't know. Anyways, lot to do. We talked about it. Read, game, watch everything that's going on right now. And as always, give us your opinion. Check out the other Project Nerd podcast. Head on over to Patreon to give us your support if you can. We would appreciate it greatly. But that's it for episode 181 of the Nerdcast. Until next week.
Hey, Pro Nerds, thanks for listening to the podcast. If you like the Nerdcast and other amazing Project Nerd podcasts, please go give us a subscription, a like, a review, wherever you find us, as we need your love and support to continue making awesome content. Next week, we'll be back with another great episode of the Nerdcast, as well as other original Project Nerd podcasts.